capacity that it really has been incorrect for all of you to let go of. And part of the reason that you find it difficult to engage in awakening is because you have to let go of your boundaries.
Will you get out of this and stay out if I let you go?
No. I'm going to leave you in a tough spot.
That's all right with me.
Now, how do I get out of here?
You have to invite the breakdown of boundaries.
Destiny of our galaxy. It's apparently what happened in their time, which is our future, is that suddenly tyranny began to reign in our galaxy.
Hit out after it again for the second, third, tenth, and 100 millionth time till you get it, or turn upside down trying.
That's all he's under side for.
All right, as soon as I've gone, you count to 20 slowly and then scream your head off.
I will.
All right, start counting.
Now, my dear family, President Bush does intend to go into Iraq. He's made you believe that Saddam Hussein is a terrible man. He's no more terrible than Bush. He's no more terrible than Bush's father. He's no more terrible than Clinton. Because all of them do things in the name of their government that if the truth were made known, there would be a Nuremberg trial for American presidents. And I believe that's why Milosevic is on trial right now. Because in the Nuremberg trial, soldiers were asked, why did you obey Hitler when he told you to put men, women, and children in ovens? They said, we were soldiers. We were obeying our orders.
And as many extraterrestrial races have time travel capabilities, they have come back to find out where the significant events occurred to make that shift into tyranny in our galaxy.
Have you read that?
Smoke into parts of the lungs that don't normally get used. And so, coffee's good, it gets you higher.
You definitely know a lot about that. Look here, Lewis, I got to run out for a little while, so, since you like getting high so much, why don't you hang out here with Mel, watch a little TV?
Why do you think we sold arms to Iran? around, to get the hostages out, strictly to get the hostages out.
I think some people really believe that there were moderate elements there that might, you know, help us in the future.
I really think their main focus was to free the hostages.
They say it was to help the Contras in Nicaragua, but I don't believe that's true.
It was to get the money, I believe.
And that reason could be anything. They can tell us anything on TV.
Iran is a crucial economic, geographic country. The U.S. wants to get them friendly again as quickly as possible.
Perhaps the most explosive issue that was not investigated in the hearings...
Psychometry.
And you have to dare to step into the unknown. And you have, for the most part, abandoned your courage, which your daughter has an abundance of. Oh, no, don't upset the apple cart. Things are going so well. Do we have to do this? Rather than... You know, things have been going rather smoothly for a while. It's time for something new. Things are getting a little dull. It's time for something new. And instead of doing outrageous worldly things, I'm encouraging you to engage in something new by wanting to wake up to the kingdom of heaven right where you thought the world was.
Cliff Allen, teacher, 5'8". Heidi Becker, consultant, whatever that means, 5'4".
Good, it gets you higher.
We know a lot about that. Look here, Lewis, I got to run out for a little while, so since you like getting high so much, why don't you hang out here with me? I'll watch a little TV.
Say it publicly. So the left got mad at him like their father figure and disappointed. And so about 2 million people or more in the left didn't vote. A lot of people didn't vote.
It was a $500,000 margin.
Yes, a half million people margin. So Nixon squeaked in because the left dropped out, just like the communists dropped out under Hitler. And, you know, either voted for Hitler to show how bad things could be from the right wing or just, you know, indifference. So the war was prolonged worse. Even though the American public didn't like it, the war was prolonged into, when, 74, 75?
Yeah, till 74.
Yeah, so...
Until 70, well, Saigon fell in 75, Nixon was out by 74, yeah. But certainly...
On the other hand, the alternative view on that is, according to Daniel Ellsberg, who was working for Kissinger in the war machine at that time, Nixon's secret plan for ending the war was to nuke North Vietnam. Mm. And the only reason that was not done was because of the protesting in the streets by the left, or by the anti... Oh, well, not the left, the anti-Rumble.
Unquestionably, the protesting changed things.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So they were afraid to do it, thinking it would split the country apart. So the war protest, not the left, but the, I mean, that was the majority of people, finally.
Absolutely.
The war protests on the extremist angle didn't help that moment in 68 in the election. On the other hand, in the long run, it may have prevented the use of the nuclear bomb, so 50-50.
Right.
I would say the real responsibility is John Wayne and, you know, the war mongers.
Well, bringing on Rambo,
Cardinal
I mean,
Spellman,
many themes
Cardinal
come
Spellman,
out of that.
Cardinal Spellman, the Catholic Church, the right-wing military, the senators who were wanted
well,
to bomb China.
Not investigated in the hearings was the true nature of the arrangement with Iran. When did the U.S. actually begin selling weapons to Iran, and why?
I saw lap dancing for the first time.
See, I get high late on when I come back. See, I get high at night.
To get information really up to date, you have to make it very easy for the person with it in their head to be able to put it into the system.
Necessarily true. I think it's a very rich, beautiful score. So I decided, with the help of a lot of collaborators, to try and make the story make more sense to me.
Hispanic, anything, it doesn't matter. Everyone who listens will have a different picture.
That ship into tyranny in our galaxy.
So they're watching Clinton closely.
They're watching everybody. They're watching everybody closely. And again, like I said, it's not just our solar system, it's 21 others.
As the focal point for our capacity to love. And in so giving to that child in love, let us hold that experience and turn to face each other. and say, I give to you in this manner now, or where do I not?
To either of us, but somehow that doesn't worry me so much anymore.
Eddie Moyes didn't do that.
You're lying.
Oh, no, Eddie Moyes never kills anybody. He just hires it done.
I don't believe
you. You think he's just a gambler, don't you? Well, I think he's a blackmailer, a hot car broker, a killer by remote control. He's anything that looks good to him, anything with money pinned to it, anything rotten.
Ask him when you see him. Well, I got rid of her. She's okay. I like her.
You like too many people.
Well, never mind, Angel. The water feels good. I wonder if you'd do what she did for a man.
I was wondering that myself.
Are you there?
Then I got a call from Paul. When I was a kid, Paul was my best friend. But after high school, he got into drugs and robbed a bunch of banks.
Rickshaw around. I have this address here. Does he live in this building?
I don't know any Jerry Rickshaw.
Well, you see the name, I have the address.
I said I don't know any Jerry Rickshaw. Now, will you go away?
Well, do you know where he might?
We...
Okay. I don't want any trouble. Excuse me. Have you seen Jerry Rickshaw around? I understand he used to live in this neighborhood, and it's very important that I get a hold of him.
Jerry Rickshaw doesn't live in this neighborhood. Jerry Rickshaw never lived here. Jerry Rickshaw never did, never will.
And be willing to walk into those frightening places where you must confront your own unwillingness to love, but not negatively, but as you would see within the infant, its unwillingness to compromise, its unwillingness or incapacity to love as you would like it to love you, for instance, to sleep through the night. And yet you love, and yet you love, and yet you love.
I'm going to get paid to dance. And when I walked in, I saw lap dancing for the first time. And I was like, what are they doing? Are they having sex in here? I mean, these women are like gyrating on the customers. I was just totally overwhelmed by it.
Kid, Paul was my best friend, but after high school, he...
The letter U and the numeral 2.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it'd be a better world, I guess. Or would it?
Oh, it would. It's not too good right now. By the way, this is WZBC in Newton. Todd DiMuzio was here, and Jonathan Hurt, Mr. Tuesday Night. So we're having a more linear, logical kind of show than usual.
But Nuremberg said, you do not have to obey an order. When that order invites you to destroy human life for nothing.
I personally, as I say in that clip, I get bored at shows. And if I get bored and it's my own show, you know, somebody should quit.
Coffee's good. It gets you higher.
You definitely know a lot about that. Look here, Louis. I got to run out for a little while, so it's you like getting high so much, why don't you hang out here with Mel, watch a little TV?
Well,
see, I get high late on when I come back. See, I get high at night when I get through with all my business.
Follows job and syncopation. Getting a job, quitting it. Getting a job, quitting it. Getting a job, quitting it.
To get it developed so that it is reliable and will work every time. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, when you can douse a plant, you can ask it, are you getting enough water? And you'll get a yes or no. Would you like to, be turned for a different face to the sun?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a yes or no.
Put those scissors down. Put them down. Turn around. Over there. Sit down.
Phil, there's two men out in back behind some trees.
Watch them.
Hello, Mr. Mars.
I told you to sit down. And leave her out of it. She's all right, Eddie. She made a deal with you and she kept it. She didn't tell me a thing except that she killed Regan, but I didn't believe that. Regan's dead, all right, but she didn't do it. It was Carmen, wasn't it? How'd it happen, Eddie?
You mean she didn't?
I asked you how it happened.
Well, Carmen liked Regan, but...
Yeah, but he liked your wife, and he said no to Carmen. She gets mad when anybody says that. I've seen her that way. Go on.
She was pretty high. By the time it was over, she couldn't remember much about it.
Yeah, I've seen her that way, too. Then you hid the body, and you
can't prove that.
It'd be just as bad for you if I prove it to myself. Then you started to blackmail Mrs. Rutledge by telling her what Carmen had done. How did you prove to her that Carmen had done it? Go ahead, prove it to me.
You've seen Carmen when she's that way.
Sure I have. Have you?
Well, how do you suppose...
And why didn't you know her when you walked in here that day? Tell me that. You're pretty smart, Eddie, but I've been waiting for this one.
What are you going to do about it?
I told you you were smart. You walked in here without a gun. You were going to sit there and agree to everything just like you're doing now. When I went out that door, things were going to be different. That's what those boys are doing out there. But everything's changed now, Eddie, because I got here first.
You're late. Sit down. My name is Zed. You're all here because you're the best of the best. Marines, Air Force, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, NYPD. And we're looking for one of you. Just one. What will follow is a series of simple tests for motor skills, concentration, stamina.
Drugs and robbed a bunch of banks.
he wound up in prison and we lost touch. The next day, he phoned me again, and I had an idea.
John?
Yeah?
What's up, man?
How are you?
It's been a while.
Uh-huh. I want to come up there and interview you in the big house.
You can't film me here.
Why not?
This is some jail, John.
So, they film jail? Don't you watch 2020?
They can't let you in here.
Why not?
John, this is a gigantic jail. It's like a penitentiary. Each thing is behind bars. You don't just walk around this place like a playground.
I understand that. I didn't imagine that you did, you know.
Right.
Don't they have, like, visitation rooms?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so that's what you do. You do it there.
You're going to visit who?
You, you idiot. Look, we're both good talkers. Paul had talked himself into a lot of money and 10 years in jail. I talked my way into a film shoot at a maximum security prison. The whole movie started to flash before my eyes, and it went something like this.
Radio, Howard, is like the theater of the mind. The audience can't see you, so you can create just about anything for them to picture. I can be bald, fat, white, ugly, Hispanic, anything. It doesn't matter. Everyone who listens will have a different picture. You can create any picture you like.
Has been intervention.
Yes, sir. And there will be more.
But you have to have courage because you're going to change. You're going to experience yourself in a different way. And you're going to say, where did this me come from? Transformation, regeneration, the renewing of your mind, being in a new way. That's what it's all about. And in many ways, especially with those in middle age, if you want to call it that, are requiring quite a boot in the seat of the pants to get you off your
tiny
self-satisfied prison bed, if I may put it that way.
All right, Angel, get down on the floor.
Don't get excited, Marlo. If anything happens in here, if there's any shooting, you'll just...
Now, what are you boys going to think? What'll they do to the first one that goes out that door? Who's it going to be, Eddie, you or me?
WZBC. Piece of cake. It's like flying a chopper. No big deal. Divide the quadrophene with the binary template, and off you go. Of course, you got to have bandwidth to do that, and not a lot of that today. The grand experiment. The metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, right here and right there. Of course, if you can hear me, then maybe you are Gary Geiserman, right there and over here. 90.3 in the FM at a Newton. Entering some pair of metallic years now. Started in February, of course. Man, Groundhog Day. Flux State continues. My personal fave, of course. Of course, that's just me. The next big signpost in the fork in the road, of course, December 21, 2012. You've heard about it. Now again, all are metaphor in the real thinking world. Probability and simulacrums all over the freaking place. To be exact, if I must, so many of the best positions to have when relating to the system, consensus reality, the machine, the way of the world today, the last days of corporate capitalism in a 90,000 year experiment or phenomenon, is, of course, no position at all. My personal fave. Just remember, all dialogues coming from the man began before either entrant got there. And if you know anything about the way of the samurai, you always try to have your opponent come to you and never the vice versa. Unless you have a death wish, of course, which is not going to be cool much longer. As we all swing over and I don't mean to the other side, because in any binary system in a holographic environment, that's the same side. So all is well. All will be well. And that is all. NewMetaphysics.com. good plasma dartboard. You can jack in there. Studio475.com/new metaphysics. Jacking over there too. WZBC.org. What is it? 56 clicks of streaming. Stereophonic. Subtracted signal line there. Sounds pretty good. Slight delay from live on the radio. Not because of the distance, however. Sometimes it's faster to not get there at all than to go really fast. And the fastest, of course, is to go somewhere else instead. Just common sense in the flux state. I mean, you don't think today is all about jacking into the Bushmaster, do you? Or reading the first section of a newspaper. Now that's quite an arcade game in itself. Especially when they don't have audio in it. But all is and will be well. No matter what I say, no matter what is heard. 617-552-4686. Telephony for the masses. Still under corporate control, however. Except in little islands of the digital domain.
Eddie, you or me? Now look, Marlo, you look at this. What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a gun before? What do you want me to do, count three like they do in the movies? That's what Canino said to little Jonesy.
Now don't go crazy.
And Jonesy took it better than your take. That's one, Eddie.
Don't, Marlo, don't. Don't.
Two, Eddie.
The most important thing to come out of the hearings is what didn't even get asked at the hearings.
President Bush is justified by law to go into Iraq and sit Saddam Hussein down? Answer me. What law gives him the right to do that?
No, Jerry Ritzoff.
Can't be your real voice.
I said there's no Jerry Rickshaw around here. Now get out or I'll stick this in your...
Okay. Excuse me. Miss? Have you seen Jerry Rickshaw around?
Now, Jerry Rickshaw. Now that... No. No, I don't know any Jerry Rickshaw.
Harvey's the man. Okay, friend, who's your man?
Who is it you're keeping your eyes on so you can learn what you can? Who's the man you're learning your world from? And if it's no one, then I figure it's time you did something about it.
Gene Gant, the hero of Look Home, Angel, saw the darkening landscape of America flash by on the train window, a stone, a leaf, an unfound door, a cot. I forget the rest of it, but... And with Kerouac, it was the same vision of America seen from the window of a speeding car 10 years later. It was only 10 years later, say. I mean, Wolfe was the 30s, Kerouac was the 40s.
Right-handed, you let the right arm hang down and see which way it swings, clockwise or counterclockwise.
But my cousin Walter jerked off in public once. True story. He was on a plane to New Mexico when all of a sudden the hydraulics went. The plane started spinning around, going out of control, so he decides it's all over and whips it out and starts beating it right there. So all the other passengers take a cue from him and they start whipping it out and beating like mad. So all the passengers are beating off, plummeting to their certain doom, when all of a sudden the hydraulics kick back in and the plane rights itself. It lands safely.
Scarface.
Paul had a good beginning. I don't know if he thought he did, but he did. He had a family.
We open with classic Hollywood movies. Mix in some old snapshots.
You know, my mother's warning? Never hang out with Paul. He's only going to bring you trouble.
Add a few interviews.
I think Paul was kind of a hammy guy. You know, Paul liked to be the star, the center. He liked to take the lead role.
And ladies and gentlemen, here's Paul.
Think about it. If I say I'm doing the show naked, people will picture me nude in front of a microphone.
Line open no matter what happens. As soon as Captain Deering gives you those figures, have them coded and put through the big computer.
Now, true, I'm making specific films. And if you make a specific film, that's not everything for everybody. You're going to turn some people off, all right? But you're going to turn some people on, too. And, the thing is, the film got a lot of remarks because of the violence in it.
Right.
All right. And in a way, they were kind of like I always kind of took it as a big compliment because I know the film isn't that violent. All right.
So why is it a compliment?
Because I did it well. The scenes I got.
Oh, in other words, they thought it was more violent than it was.
Type of the slave owner is actually not what it really was.
I mean is, I figure it's time. Time to take up that pencil and scratch yourself a reminder to find yourself a Harvey to learn from. Or an Al. Or a Harry.
Oh, shoot, it's me, Mark!
You better come up and get me out of here. And watch yourself. They may still be outside.
Right away.
It won't take them long.
What are you going to...
Wait a minute. Let me do the talking, Angel. I don't know yet what I'm going to tell them, but it'll be pretty close to the truth. But you'll have to send Carmen away from a lot of things. They have places for that. Maybe they can cure her. It's been done before. But I have to tell your father about Regan. I think he can take it.
You've forgotten one thing. Me.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing you can't fix.
It's sort of set in the 60s, 70s, somewhere like that. And it's not just fun, and it's not just pretty. It's scary, which the original Hoffman story is. It's very sort of dark and complicated and scary, and kids like scary. You know, only adults think kids want adorable all the time. I don't think kids want that.
You've got androgyny there. You've got men, women in tutus, the whole thing. The thing that strikes me about The Hard Knot is that it's, over time, over the last, you know, decade or so, it's making a bid as a Christmas perennial. I mean, pretty soon The Hard Knot's going to rank right up there with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How does it make you feel?
I think it's great. I have I meet people all the time who have five-year-olds who have to watch The Hard Nut, or they won't go to bed, or they won't eat their spinach or something like that. It's like, right on. That's what I say.
That's great.
Insist.
What was it like growing up in your house in Seattle? It seemed like it was something of a dance show in your living room.
Well, whenever I could stage manage that, it was, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of bossy kids make other children in the neighborhood do what they want, and then you have hire other people to watch it or something like that.
But elaborate shows,
yeah.
Your mother, your father, your uncle,
right.
You know, filmed you. I saw a picture of you dressed as a little sheikh in, Arab sheikh in some little film.
When I was like 7 or something.
Yeah, what an amazing childhood.
That movie was called Safari to Arafat, which is, of course, Safari spelled backwards. It was a very dramatic desert song kind of movie.
Burger.
Why don't you walk me to the dough space, girl? I hope you don't mind hanging out with Louis. Try not to tear his clothes off from my eye. Yo, Louis. Catch you later, man.
Okay, later.
Want a metrics?
What's the best?
It's like this major meal that you drink in a shake instead of having a big meal.
It's like a diet thing?
No, it's what bodybuilders drink to beef up.
No, thanks.
Okay. When was the last time I saw you?
Oh, 6-7 years ago.
It didn't seem like that long ago.
It was that long ago. How old were you in this picture?
Which one?
Roller disco.
Disco. Oh, 14.
You 14 here?
Yep.
Shit, I thought you were at least 16.
Well, about the same height now as I was then. The picture, that green one?
Yeah.
That was taken at that place called Flippers. You remember that? It was in Hollywood. Were you in L.A. then?
No.
Where were you?
I was in Detroit.
Come here. Closer. The closer yet.
Yes?
Buy Chesterfield. Firm and pleasing to the lips.
Oh.
Chesterfield. Mild. They satisfy the most.
Just one. What will follow is a series of simple tests for motor skills, concentration, stamina. I see we have a question.
I'm sorry. Maybe you already answered this, but why exactly are we here?
Sean?
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best. Sir!
So the idea was it would be so clean and neat and sexy and easy to use that everybody would just dump their brains into it, and then we would end up with...
The Monroe...
kept America out of the affairs of other nations and kept them out of our affairs, because every sovereign nation has the right to govern itself. And if the people under that leader do not like that leader, they have the right to sit him down. But America does not have that right.
I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
Yes, well, you got a lot on the table there, brother. I appreciate that. Let's begin briefly with the second. There's always a difference between the personal and the institutional. When we look at the institutional level, it's hard to talk about good slaveholders. It's like talking about good Nazis. It sounds like a contradiction, an oxymoron, because structurally they're involved in a project of such gross oppression and domination. But the personal level is never identical with the institutional. Sure. That no matter who one is as a human being or what one's position is, you still can make certain choices. So a good Nazi can still surreptitiously help some Jews out. Making a choice that cuts against the Nazi ideology. A good slaveholder can still treat certain black people with decency within that vicious system of slavery by allowing them either escape, connect with a Harriet Tubman, or what have you, and still be a slaveholder.
Tray, cigarettes, till he reached Trembly. Kick it over, set her off.
Steve Wenzel's my friend, and that junior trash stole his bankroll and his speedballs.
Not plummeting to their certain doom, when all of a sudden, the hydraulics kick back in and the plane rights itself. It lands safely. And everyone puts their pieces or whatever, you know, away and deboard. Nobody mentions the phenomenon to anyone else.
Try to get a closer radar fix and put that data through the computer too.
Interior openings that I might expect as an extension of this predisposition are different than other people might have. So you ain't going to have mine, and I won't have yours. But we each have an access, see? And that's why I like the system of the Enneagram, because it describes 9 different access points. Well, then I start years later, after I've learned the Enneagram, after I've done an immense amount of interior visualization practice, I realized that I could replicate voluntarily without the stress factor or the situation, you know, being hyped up where I had to make an intuitive decision, but that I could merge my inner observer, the inner awareness, with a visualized object of a situation that is not known to me, and that I can, at call, produce a voluntary intuitive reading. It's not channeling. It's an activation of the centers. There's no entity or other worldly, you know, there's no need to call in that kind of explanation. It's simply a human activity that most people are capable of, but it's certainly a different human activity than thinking.
Thoughtful and as careful a decision on their part as anybody, as any revolutionary ever makes.
of the Warren Commission's claim of a lone assassin. And once you conclude the magic bullet could not create all seven of those wounds, you have to conclude that there was a fourth shot and a second rifle.
Was Ronald Reagan cut a deal with Iran before the 1980 election to send arms to Iran in exchange for Iran's agreeing to delay the release of our 52 hostages?
Actually and truly, you're better off this way.
Oh, yeah. And they're in good tasting. I mean, I couldn't convince you. I couldn't convince my wife. But, I mean, even so, they're good. They're good to eat. They're good to taste.
Well, it's like my father just made us eat, and we'd never eat it. And he said we had to learn to eat things like this. You don't know what you're missing, and once you get used to it. And I enjoy it. I really do. That strange taste in it doesn't bother me any longer. And there's no waste on anything like this. That's where most of the health is in those kind of things anyway.
Take it out of the minds of people, honestly. And my God, it seems like that's quite absent today. What is there to control? And how can it be left to one person to decide what you want? When you make us up,
many things change.
Many things. Everything is wrong.
Notice said that you would be trespassing if you came to the station.
Yes. Producers come in to produce their show. They were locked out yesterday.
I must tell you, it's a trap. It's a danger to the public. But still, for many men, just to hear of the name
WPAI
fills them with hate and loathing.
But why? They never harmed anyone.
I'm afraid they did.
What you will hear now will bring back memories to some, will open up new fields to others, but most important, will keep alive to all and for all time what can really never die.
The humpback whale. Master of the deep, tireless voyager, perhaps the most fascinating mammal in creation. Tests have shown the humpback to possess an intelligence almost human in its range and complexity. Humpbacks can communicate with one another, express pain and pleasure, and experience emotion. But with these advanced faculties, it seems, come problems. This highly sophisticated submarine recording, made in the humpback's favorite feeding grounds off Baja California, reveals that the enormous animals may even share with their chief predator, man, some of those tragic physical disabilities the flesh is heir to. The humpback whales cannot help themselves. Only you can help them. Please send a contribution to Save the Whales Before They Blast Themselves into Extinction. Box 101, Grand Central Station, New York. This has been a message from your Terminal Flatulence Association.
class. Sometimes I would come over to these book sessions and witness them myself, and I tape recorded some of those. An ESP class, which was held weekly in her house for about 8 or 9 years, and more infrequently for a year or two after that, the sessions were always tape recorded, and someone always typed those up.
Now the stage show, which used to be the central thing of striptease, right now it's just the part of your job that you have to do so you can lap dance and make your real money.
When I started stripping, which was 7 years ago, we did stage shows. I did very flamboyant ones. I appreciated the teasing aspect of the stripping industry.
There weren't girls up in the dressing room talking about, oh yeah, I'm getting this customer off. That was not your goal.
I noticed over time that what we had to do to make our money changed.
At clubs across the city, dancers were getting paid less and less to do more and more.
The conditions got bad when the Mitchell brothers took the glass out of a peep showroom. At the Century, where I was working, they took the windows out of there too.
Off the next day, there were two or three people who did that over the years, and all those, the tape recordings exist, and they're in the archives, and all of the class sessions that were typed up, of course, exist in the archives.
Amorphous, massed brain there to run our search engines on and to try to make head or tail of.
First time I robbed a bank, I believe it was the Market Square Savings Bank on Market Street in San Francisco. It was right in the middle of Market Street. I walked in and I handed the note. I go, this is it, Paul. You're going to pull your bank robbery. You want to get away from it. You don't want to get stuck in the bank. Handed her the note and she starts giving me the money. And I go, oh, she's giving me the money. And then I go, well, I want all the hundreds. She goes, okay. And I just grabbed the money and ran out of it. And I ran onto Market Street in San Francisco, a real busy street. And a guy running down the street, it ain't worth nothing. You know what I mean? By the time the cops got there, I was all the way on California Street up by Van Ness. All of a sudden, this guy's got himself $9,000-$10,000 in his hand. Here I am, beautiful hotel room and you don't come in with anything that's going to resemble any type of dangerous weapon. Just a note. They're trained in their training that when someone is attempting to rob the bank, just give them the money, and when they leave, hit the alarm. Because they don't know if you have a gun or not. They don't know what type of individual you are, whether you're a wanted criminal. I caught on to the fact that all you had to do was get a note, and, you know, I was that guy. You know what I mean? Hey, you don't know me. I'm anybody.
Unfortunately, it turned out just to be too difficult. The browser was written using NextStep, which was a very nice system, and then on Macs and PCs, it was much more difficult to do that. But there are a few things around, a few products around now, which are getting there.
Thank you.
other certain doom when all of a sudden the hydraulics kick back in and the plane rights itself.
Matter. I stole drugs. I stole people's prescriptions, pills, just for the thrill of taking something that I didn't know what it would do to me. It was also easy to use other people's cars for long periods of time. A lot of my friends had 2-3 cars. I would borrow a car and use it for a couple of days. And there's one time where I think I probably ran over this old woman. I was in a parking lot. I was very drunk. I had gone out in the parking lot to be sick. And a little old woman came up to me. She was sort of a bag lady. She asked me for money. And I didn't want to talk to her. And she made me very anxious and frightened. Perhaps I saw myself as a high-class bag lady. I don't know what happened to me, but I snapped and I jumped in the car I was using at the time. And I started to drive away, and she chased after me, screaming at me.
It's enough. It could have triggered. Every one of you and every kid in multiple stage of kidness. Seeks ecstasy. They seek that peak experience, don't they? They want to drive faster than they're 60, and they want to pick up a cuter chick or be picked up by a hunkier hunk. They're waiting for that first sexual experience that they know will be sheer ecstasy, that will lift them, whatever their gender, into total states of bliss. You haven't found out that's not the case, but nonetheless, before it happens, it's there. Every 13-year-old, you know, watching Blue Lagoon. Every 13-year-old girl watching Brooke Shields in the Blue Lagoon. But other than that, there is that. I seek that. And the unknown and to create with imagination, with will, with passion. And if any of these, all of which occur in everybody to some degree, if any of them or a combination of them gets amped up, boom, you trigger it. For some people, that happens. In the larval state of childhood and adolescence, they do gather from the pain and from the fear and from the joy and from the happiness, from the nightmares, from the dreams, from the memories, from this. They do gather what they need. The gifts, the treasures. From the battlefield of life, they gather what they need. And they do, at the time of wounding, enter that pupa state. Other pupa states have been entered, but now in the cocoon of wound they enter the pupa state, and they become very still, and they ponder, and they digest. And in that pupa state, in that cocoon, they long for the hallows by choice, and they long for ecstasy and the unknown. They long to create with passion, with imagination, with will, and they long for a radiance, an abundance, a balance, a momentum. And they do it with an intensity that does trigger. And all that they were emotionally and mentally gets consumed. And they begin crafting their own life. And they become not their mother's version, their father's versions, their past's version. Thank you.
Do you remember? We worked together on a production of A Comedy of Errors in Blackpool. You were Angelo, and I was the understudy for Jonathan Dean's Baltazar. He got food poisoning one night, and I had to go on. Sorry. He was always so healthy that I hadn't even bothered to learn my lines. It was humiliating. Do you remember it?
Oh, yes, I'll never forget it. It was in a production of A Comedy of Errors in Blackpool. I was Angelo, and you're the understudy for Jonathan Dean's Balthazar. He got food poisoning one night, and you had to go on. Achoo! Sorry. He was always so healthy that you didn't even bother to learn your lines. It was humiliating for you.
You do remember. I'm most impressed.
I tried to turn to get away from her, and I know that I hit her.
I mostly, you know, it didn't seem strange to me because it wasn't strange. I grew up, and it wasn't like a wacky household. It was just, creativity was valued.
Television too. We run movies. What can I offer you?
You haven't heard anything about that bomb, have you?
That happened on your side of the border.
In a place like this, you hear.
I heard the explosion.
Well, this case is over. Come around some night, sample some of your chili.
Better be careful. Maybe too hot for you.
you can do that quickly. So hopefully it will be easy for people to make links and drag in images if you want.
At New York Telephone, we know getting a malicious or obscene phone call can really piss you off. If you get such a call, fuck it. Hang up immediately. In most instances, that's enough to stop the caller from becoming a pain in the ass. Too often, though, people unwittingly encourage the caller by talking back. Don't be a prick. You can't argue with a sick mind, so don't try. If hanging up quickly doesn't work, for shit's sake, don't panic. Just call our business office. You'll find the number in front of your telephone directory. In persistent cases, our annoyance call bureau takes over to try and trap the fucker. Working with the police, our annoyance call bureau has been responsible for 844 arrests and 54 abortions. And the funders have learned that a 10-cent phone call can cost them as much as $1,000 and jam their ass in prison for a year. At New York Telephone, we're in business to give you service. And part of our obligation is to see to it that no motherfucker abuses that service. After all, the service we give you is a fee amount.
Yes, counterclockwise is no. And then you can put your left hand, which is your input hand, toward the plant, just put it near it, and ask the question and see which way your arm goes. Or you can do it with something swinging on a chain. Or you can do it with a forked stick. It doesn't make any difference. It's the communication between the plant and you that makes your arm or your hands do these things.
And walk over to the door to your cell and try to open it so you can discover that it never was locked.
Barbara Honegger was a dedicated member of the Reagan-Bush presidential campaign in 1980. She worked on the special writing, research, and policy staff, and later as a White House policy analyst.
As part of my position, I was required to cover the 11 o'clock evening news in the operations center. The campaign was afraid that Jimmy Carter would successfully bring the 52 hostages home, what we call the October surprise, and win the election. There had been a feeling of panic in the campaign.
The 56 hostages taken captive at the U.S. Embassy in Iran in 1979 became a major issue in Jimmy Carter's campaign for re-election to a second term as president. His repeated efforts to gain their release failed, and Ronald Reagan was elected by a wide margin.
Lecture within you, not of hacking.
No, I would actually characterize myself as a pretty nice guy. And
the Mother Teresa of hacking. Something in between there.
Well, I would characterize myself as definitely a non-malicious fellow. I was more mischievous. I love pulling pranks. And in fact, when I was a kid, we figured out how we can intercept directory assistance. So when customers of the phone company would call directory assistance for Rhode Island, we would get some of the spillage. So when at a certain time, we were able to intercept calls. So when they would come into us, we'd go, what city? And the customer would go, Providence, and we'd say, okay, the name, and they'd give us the name, and we'd say, okay, that number's 555-31527. What?
And when you realize you can't do anything you want to do,
don't say. That promise was a goddamn lie. You say, uh-uh, I'm undeserving. I'm unloving. And humanity becomes undeserving and unloving. And the promise supports that and says, yes, humanity is self-destructive, stupid, greedy, hostile, elitist, better than, undeserving and unloving. That's the nature of the human condition. That's a lie. But you'd rather believe that lie than admit the lie of the grand promise. Religion comes in and supports it. You are a sinner, always will be a sinner, can never forgive yourself, can never be forgiven, but by the grace of God in heaven. Every religion has the same words, different vernacular, different language, but the same meaning. That's when you see religion and science united to control you. Well, they did that. No, you did it. You are science and you are religion. Don't kid yourself. But that's what you did. To give power to your ego. To kill your spirit. And the philosophies throughout the ages have been dedicated to sort out the truth that you're unloving. That you're unloving and unfeeling and uncaring, stupid, greedy, selfish, self-destructive, hostile people. And philosophers have been elevated to great stature, brilliant minds, from that base developing philosophy of how mankind should function, how government should operate, how people should be treated. Laws, judgments, justice created to control this self-destructive, stupid, greedy, hostile, elitist, undeserving, unloving, evil people. Whole systems of government and legal departments. Think of it, if you were to undo all that and realize, no, that's not true. The people are loving, and they're generous, and they're giving, and they're caring, and that's their nature, that's the truth of what mankind is all about. Police departments, unemployment would be up. Police departments would have closed down. Judges would have to go back to washing cars. Legal books could be recirculated to publish fun books to read. Interesting, something that grabs and stimulates you. Now, we are not talking seriously about that, but we would suggest here that we're not advocating that at all. But you can see what we're talking about here, how the system has built itself on this lie. And then here you are. Okay, love yourself. Are you kidding? All of humanity is. How can I, singular me, step out and be any different? Give up domination. You've got to be a fool. It's the only way you can fight your way through the morass and the ugliness of what I unfortunately am as a human being. Ooh. But if you understand the lie, and back out and admit the lie's a lie, then you can move to the spiritual promise.
Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best. Sir!
Okay, let's get going. Down on it.
He just knows what's happening in the early Columbia days. He saw this beautiful Kerouac and he heard that he was a writer. Now, I went bananas. Dig it. And Burroughs has got the good head and all that. If in the hall and all that meets them up there at Columbia, bam, bam, you better believe they'll talk.
Yeah.
They had no idea of movement at the time and whatnot. Right? And I come at the tail end, the end of 49, 1950.
Now it's jazz. The place is roaring. All beautiful girls in there. One mad brunette at the bar, drunk with her boys. One strange chick I remember from somewhere, wearing a simple skirt with pockets, her hands in there. Short haircut, slouched, talking to everybody. Up and down the stairs they come. The bartenders are the regular band of Jack and the heavenly drummer who looks up in the sky with blue eyes, with a beard. He's wailing beer caps of bottles and jamming at the cash register, and everything is going to the beat. It's the beat generation. It's Bayat. It's the beat to keep. It's the beat of the heart. It's being beat and down in the world and like old-time lowdown. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat. And servants spinning pottery to a beat. The faces, a face like hunkies in New York. Hunky, whom you'll see on Times Square, somnolent and alert, sad, sweet, dark, holy, just out of jail, martyred, tortured by sidewalks, starved for sex and companionship, open to anything. Ready to introduce a new world with a shrug.
It was also a horn and heart, an autumn mat,
All of these places stayed open all night long, and one could sit down with a cup of coffee, and people could stop in and talk, and you'd be watching through the window, and somebody that you knew from down the street would cut by, they'd spot you, they'd fall in, say hello, that sort of thing. So, and it, this would develop into an all-night thing for you.
That's when it becomes a soap opera about their lives. That's what's torn away from it, is the fact that people do make decisions like that and take their destiny into their own hands.
Who chose Dylan's song?
Terry chose that.
Terry?
Yeah, Terry was an aficionado of Dylan, a real fan, and he picked that name.
He knew every word to every song Dylan ever wrote.
Terry had dropped out of college at 16 to do community organizing in Cleveland, Ohio. Teddy had fought at Columbia and been involved in the Columbia struggle.
Teddy was a New York-raised kid, played street basketball in New York, grew up in the New York public school system, a red diaper baby. He founded Teachers for a Democratic Society, TDS. You can still see today, 5 years later in New York, Teddy's handwriting all over New York. And a very distinctive Bring the War Home and the War in Vietnam on the subways and walls on the Lower East Side.
The NLF of one.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't the first thing anybody did, and it wasn't out of the blue. So people had become revolutionary slowly, one step at a time, had gone to jail, had done all kinds of other actions before that. It's not mysterious in that sense. It came out of real people's changes in real people's lives.
Solar system that is called Zenite. It is a small solar system that circles, whose star circles around a larger star called Mirage in the Andromedan constellation.
Makes your arm or your hands do these things. We don't know. All we know is that if you tell a plant that it's going to be big and, you know, and beautiful, it will be. Tell a plant that it's going to be ugly and you're going to hate it. And anybody can do this experiment with seeds or small plants.
He was always so healthy that you didn't even bother to learn your lines. It was humiliating for you.
You do remember. I'm most impressed.
I do remember, and you're most impressed.
There's unlimited amount. Mercedes-Benz can produce enough cars so that everybody can have a Mercedes. If indeed they were around at the Industrial Revolution. That would have been the philosophy. Therefore, it's there. Unlimited. Which really meant unlimited consumption. Use up. There's always more. And then the greatest good for the greatest number. Do you know, in the history of the world, the majority has never been correct? Do you know that? There's never been a time that the majority has been correct. The greatest good for the greatest number. Meaning, find the balance. You can't have this so that you can. That now is called communism.
but it's part of the grand promise. In your Western, capitalistic, imperialistic world, yes, that give up so that more can have. Become normal, become mediocre, everybody become the same.
The plane started spinning around, going out of control, so he decides it's all over and whips it out and starts beating it right there. So all the other passengers take a cue from him and they start whipping it out and beating like mad.
Tired of marching on Washington, man. Sorry, you know, but Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." All of the war machines of the world today are using young people to fight wars. That's why they see the rappers as dangerous. Because the rappers are taking their children from them. Suppose the rappers, instead of using foul and filth language, started becoming emissaries of peace. Since they're listened to all over the world, just put that beat behind it. And have the people saying they're not going to kill another human being. Just think. And the baby starts saying it in kindergarten. And before you know it, they say it's a draft. Then somebody will say, "Well, my mama told me stay out of drafts, I might catch a cold." Muhammad Ali lost the heavyweight championship of the world, not in the ring, but because he had the courage to say, "Them Viet Cong ain't never called me nigger." Today, he's an international hero. I can't keep quiet and let these young people die to satisfy the bloodlust of the President of the United States.
You do remember. I'm most impressed.
I do remember, and you're most impressed. Okay, moving on. Ching, ching, Charlie. Oops, I'm sorry. I mean, Christopher, let me ask you a question. Whilst cross-eyed, do you know the way to San Jose? It's been a long time, blah, 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 blah.
Prove it. And many kids have done it for their science fair. It's wonderful to do experiments with seeds.
People ought to know who's responsible for trying to destroy. the AI and what it is we're about to lose.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture.
What it is we're about to lose, we're about to lose.
From the FBI and alcohol, tobacco, and firearms now working the case, helping local authorities trace the guns.
What's the name of this?
He reloaded the weapon several times.
What you been doing with that gun?
Our goal to understand as much as possible about what happened in this tragic incident.
A month later, the trial opened of the former President Suharto.
A suicide bomber attacked a Navy destroyer.
What you will hear now will bring back memories to some, will open up new fields to others, but most important, will keep alive to all and for all time what can really never die. The many moons of
the Russian submarine curse tonight remains at the bottom of the sea, all hope lost for the souls inside.
Air France Concorde crashing outside Alaska Airlines.
Terrible story here. It was just about 11 o'clock this morning.
That reminds me of a very funny story.
My desire I really want to live I want to live for my Jesus. It's my desire just to be like him, only him, no one but him. So many times I have failed him. You know, many times I brought him shame. I brought him so much shame, but it's my desire to live for him. How many tonight? It's your desire. Well, it's my desire. Tonight in Indianapolis, I want to help someone today. Someone like me who may have failed. I want them to see the way. I've got a great God and he will never fail. For you see, Dwight Thompson, Rod Parsley, we were once oh so lost. But I found my way. I got on my feet, I found my way back to God. Now it's my desire. I want to live for him. I want to live for him. Oh, if you could have seen where Jesus has brought me from to where I am today. It'll be a miracle if I get through this song. you would know. You'd understand the reason why I'm in Indianapolis on television. I want to shout it around the world that I love him. I love him. I love him so. You can take this whole world, all of its wealth and its riches. I just don't need her fame. It's my desire to live for him. Did you know I could take you to the spot and I could take you to the place where it happened? I know tonight, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I would be in the devil's hell if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ and the prayers of my mama. That when she said at the age of 16 to me, I was 16, she said, go ahead, son, get in that car and run. But you'll never go so far. My prayers aren't going to find me. And my mama's prayers found me. And Jesus reached down and saved my soul. You can take this world and all of its wealth and riches. I don't need her space.
Seven of those wounds, you have to conclude that there was a fourth shot and a second rifleman. And if there was a second rifleman, then by definition, there had to be a conspiracy, which we believe involves the accused, Clay Shaw. 51 witnesses, gentlemen of the jury, thought they heard shots coming from the grassy knoll, which is to the right in front of the president. Key witnesses that day? Charles Brim, a combat vet. Right behind, Gene Hill and Mary Mormon. S.M. Holland, Richard Dodd, James Simmons, standing on the overpass. J.C. Price, overlooking the whole plaza. William Newman, father of two children, who hit the deck on the north side of Elm. Abraham Zapruder. Each of these key witnesses has no doubt whatsoever one or more shots came from behind the picket fence. 26 trained medical personnel at Parkland Hospital saw with their own eyes the back of the president's head blasted out. Dr. Peters.
There was was enlarged, 7 centimeter opening in the right occipital parietal area. A considerable portion of the brain was missing there. Almost a fifth, or possibly a quarter, of the back of the head had been blasted out, along with the underlying brain tissue.
What is the proper time to declare one dead for the last price?
There was also a large fragment of skull attached to a flap of the scalp. The exit hole in the rear of his head measured about 120 millimeters.
You're on till 6, right? Go ahead. Do your show.
I can't believe this. Here's a scenario they don't teach at Connecticut House of Broadcasting, what to do with the madman in the studio.
Jack the Ripper, always the wise ass. I've always loved your show. That's why I picked you for my request. I had a feeling we'd get along.
Get along. Is that what we're doing? Look, do I know you from somewhere? Because if I do, I'm sorry for whatever it was that I did to you. Did I fuck your wife or something?
Don't say anything about my wife.
I'm sorry, but I'm a bit fucking freaked out. Now put the fucking gun down.
Don't you ever say anything about my wife. Do you understand?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Please put the gun down.
You don't know jack shit about me. You're no pain. You don't know.
I have been there.
Shut up!
Maybe it sounds really immature or something, but I don't feel like I've lived enough and enjoyed my body the way it is and expressed it and moved and... I don't feel like I've enjoyed its talents and its capabilities fully for where it is now. And it's really interesting. It's just very interesting. I think I'm becoming aware of my own mortality, you know, and which is appropriate. I don't dwell on it. I don't feel like I'm old or anything. I feel extremely young, actually. I feel like I don't feel 30 at all. I feel about 17 these days.
Wired to kill him when he touched it. She hit the wires well enough, but she forgot to hide this mystery story with all the directions in it. I'm afraid she's due for a shock.
This has been Nightmare, a bedtime story for folks who like to dream violently. Be with us tomorrow for another tale of horror, mystery, or suspense. A story as short and terrifying as a nightmare.
Couldn't live around here. I know everyone.
Well, thanks. Excuse me, sir. Do you know Jerry Rickshaw?
Jerry Rickshaw? No way, no way. I don't know a Jerry Rickshaw. Uh-uh, never heard of him. Oh, gotta go. Whoa, hey.
Excuse me. Does anyone over there know the name Jerry Rickshaw? Anyone? Does anyone know Jerry Rickshaw?
Why don't you go away? We don't know a Jerry Rickshaw.
Yeah, why don't you beat it? There's no Jerry Rickshaw around here.
There's no Jerry Rickshaw! Get out!
I think there was, Jane and Rob did a book tour. It was the only one they ever did. And the first place they went was a television station in Boston whose call letters I don't remember. And stuff came through on television.
Really?
Much to Jane's chagrin. And she was a little surprised at this. I want to add here with that remark, though, that Seth never came through without Jane's permission, let's say. Mm-hmm. This was nothing that was expected of her or enforced. And Seth said many times during sessions that Jane and Rob owed no responsibility to him or the material. And, you know, they could quit at any time. And, you know, Jane never would have done any of this, including speaking on television for Seth, unless she felt that the circumstances were right somehow, and she allowed this.
I shouldn't say that, and I don't mean to be, but I don't mind. I mean, we're all hypocrites in one form or another. But to have it institutionalized, historialized, what is that word, historialized?
It's a word we just invented. Yeah. Let me get another call. Louis, I understand where we're going. Louisville, Kentucky with Marlon Brando. Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Two quick questions to Mr. Brando.
Yeah.
What is your opinion of Martin Scorsese and his work? I think he's the greatest. And my brother Malcolm wanted me to ask you about One-Eyed Jax. He says it's the greatest Western of all time.
One-Eyed Jax. You directed that movie.
Was that fun doing? I directed it because I couldn't get anybody else to do it.
You work with your friend Carl Malden?
Oh, I love Carl. We go back from Truckline Cafe. But in answer to your question, Martin Scorsese is an inordinately talented person, and he has extraordinary instincts. He's dynamic, he's vibrant, he's real, he's taken film and put it in a much higher and noticeably higher dimension with Bobby De Niro and
your friend Mr. Pacino.
Huh?
Al Pacino.
Al is certainly an accomplished person, a highly developed actor. I forgot his name.
You mean who works with Scorsese?
He played the taxi driver. How could I forget his name?
De Niro.
No, yes, De Niro, but then the guy who played the pimp.
Harvey Keitel.
Sorry, Harvey.
How good an actor is Harvey Keitel?
Harvey Keitel is an excellent actor, and he's an actor like Jack Nicholson who dares, and Bobby Duvall is another actor who gets out there and left. Get him out of here. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And everybody had injections against.
So you are very into the environment. Is this new or has
No, it's not that. It's your kids and it's my kids. I'm going to live through it. But by the year 250, if we don't reverse the burning down the forests in Brazil, has reduced the amount of oxygen that goes into the air. The use of of this is driving me nuts because I'm hearing something. I'll take it out just for a second. The use of burning fossil fuels, which we have to do for industry. Nobody's going to stop that. Nobody's going to stop driving their car. Is producing carbon dioxide, which is filling the Earth's atmosphere. And if you want to know what the effect is, you get inside your car, you roll up the windows on a hot summer day, and you sit there. You'll be dead in about 48 minutes from, what do they call that?
Whatever.
Yeah.
You will be dead.
You'll be boiled.
Of themselves, they become their version, not just a better who they were, but a whole different self.
Hey man, what the hell is all this? Back in the mid-1950s, the government started a little underfunded agency with the simple and laughable purpose of establishing contact with the race none of this planet.
You look directly at the end of this device. We'll administer the eye test.
Everybody thought the agency was a joke, except the aliens who made contact March 2, 1961, outside New York. There were nine of us the first night. Seven agents, one astronomer, and one dumb kid who got lost on the wrong back road.
Oh, you brought that tall man some flowers.
This way. They were a group of intergalactic refugees. Wanted to use the Earth as an apolitical zone for creatures without a planet. Did you ever see the movie Casablanca? Same thing, except no Nazis.
Oh.
We agreed, and we concealed all the evidence of their landing.
So these are real flying saucers, and the World's Fair was just a cover-up for their landing.
Why else would we hold it in Queens? More non-humans arrive every year, and they live among us in secret.
Look, I'm sorry, not to change the subject or anything, but when was the last time you had a CAT scan?
About 6 months ago. It's company policy.
Ryan, you should make another appointment.
I robbed 11 banks in San Francisco in 1986. I robbed 11 banks.
But this isn't the film I really want to make. Paul's my friend. He's not Dillinger. Paul didn't even carry a gun.
John, the criminal mind is something you've got to study for many years, okay?
But tell me, okay, but
it's not just these guys you appear in the paper while, look, this crazy guy did this. To understand the whole thing is important.
But let me say,
stop. Don't you understand?
Yes.
That it might, maybe I didn't understand it completely, that I thought, oh, I robbed the bank just for the money so I can leave prison. It's all right. It's over with. And then I robbed another bank. Now I understand maybe there was something else behind it. Maybe there was a whole psychology behind it. Maybe I was so antisocial and I wanted to get back in society and I was into the thrill of it and I wanted the money, a whole bunch of things.
Cut it out. It hurts. So would you put up that paint with that paint again? Don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think I will.
Do you think you'd ever want to try whipping someone else?
I think, yeah, I would love to try.
Oh, you would? Those little bugs are in here. How would you feel about whipping me?
I would feel good.
You want to try it?
Please.
You do? Mm-hmm. My water.
Stronger, show them how strong you can be. You want me to strike out?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh. Yes. Oh. Come on, I want it stronger.
Yeah?
Stronger. Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
I like you like that. Oh.
Yes.
Come on. Oh. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, I feel like it.
Yeah.
I can tell you like it. I can tell you like it. Whenever you see it, you like this.
Yeah, it's
get so wrapped up. And I normally like to stay in control. But I think I found another one that I'm really enjoy being with.
To the car to get the CD. But I was there. You never left the building. You lied.
Is that what you've done in here, you fucker? Is Julie okay? Did you hurt her?
Jack! Please. I'm here to see you. What do you think I am?
That's just the point. I don't fucking have any fucking idea.
Jack, I'm here to see my favorite radio DJ. The man behind The Voice, Rockin' Woodstock. I mean, it's a long way from New York City.
What do you know about New York?
Jack, I said we have plenty of time. Relax. You answer me first. Come on, why the big story about running outside?
Julie leaves, and you run in the door.
Is that right?
I knew something was up. Or have you been stalking me for a while?
You first.
Radio is... Wait, what's your name?
You're going out of turn.
Fuck that. You have the gun. You know all the shit about me. Give me something. And get up if you want. I don't care.
How?
See? That was easy. Radio, Howard, is like the theater of the mind.
You good? Still seeing that sexy French chick?
I know. No. She asked the wrong question.
What was that?
What are you thinking? The hours are hell.
But the cash is starting to tumble in. I know this guy. I was an ironclad way of making money. I can't lose and I can't get hurt.
Oh, can't get hurt. Well, so does this guy have a tip for an honest lawyer?
Maybe. Check out Teldar paper. But don't quote me. What about you? I hear you guys are handling the Fairchild Foods merger and it may not be going through. Any surprises I haven't read about in the Wall Street Journal?
Come on, buddy, that's illegal. You wouldn't want to get me disbarred then, would you?
Oh, who's listening? Just one college buddy talking to another.
Yeah, right.
Oh, relax, Roger. Everybody's doing it. But if you don't know, then you don't know.
Say to you straight out. There comes a time in our lives when we that preach the gospel have to make a very specific, a very definite decision about what God would have us to say. On this particular program today, we are going to deal one of the most critical situations in the history of mankind. What does God have to say to a nation that has abandoned prayer in schools, removed Bible reading from the classroom, has disregard for the total righteous and moral laws of the Word of God? Do we keep silent or do we speak out? Here's what the Bible says. Stay tuned.
After 14 months in captivity, the hostages were finally released, January 21st, 1981, the day of Ronald Reagan's inauguration.
Getting a job, WZBC Network. New metaphysics right now. Gary Geiserman holding the fishing pole. Out of Newton. Home of Sir Isaac. And the apple. And of course, where National Biscuit Company got its start with the Fig Newton. Look it up. I'm in the media. I have authority. 90.3 in the FM. And up on the big board, Cobweb in the Sky, WZBC.org. Screaming Killa Bits or Bytes, reformulating themselves just for you on your end. And earlier programs from the past, from the New Metaphysics Intel programming at newmetaphysics.com, of course, held by one of my handlers, God willing. And an alternate site in a foreign language, non-Western of your choice, studio475.com/new metaphysics. Spelled like a college boy would spell it. Well trained in the verse of the plumb line and the tumbling mechanical gyro. And of course, email for the major, me, retired USN, GaryG4@mac.com, MAC.com, GaryG4. Price per item, MAC.com. And the special email program,
jobs that are a joke to jobs that aren't funny.
Just sitting on the dock of the Mass Bay watching the proceedings while busily at work behind the black curtain, of course, we're all good boys and girls. Need to work during the fluxus state ongoing since about 93, I believe, April 23 to be exact, when it slipped over onto the other side, as it were. Everyone alive then, and of course, since, for those youngsters out there, has been touched upside the head, not to be forgot, I might say. And the rest is future. In 1,000 years, we'll be a legend.
I'll follow job and syncopation. Getting a job, quitting it. Getting a job, quitting it. Getting a job, quitting it. Getting a job, getting fired. Getting a job, getting fired. Getting a job, getting fired.
In the dock of the Mass Bay. Feet not in the water, however, for preservation protocols. Gotta be there when it happens. And oh, my brothers, it will happen.
Seen at distracting bars usually. So who didn't make the cut?
Well, that's a picture of me in Japan.
Whose arm is that?
That's the guy that I live with. His name was Hiroshi.
Well, must have made quite an impression.
Count cheese. I never got to know him really. I know I couldn't speak any Japanese and his English was terrible, but you know, what am I gonna say? His English is better than my Japanese, you know.
Sounds like a problem.
Not really. I mean, we didn't have that much to say to each other anyway. Mm-hmm. I never really got to know him, but I knew enough to know that I wasn't missing much, so. Anyway, I keep that picture because of all the fucking time I was there. That's the only picture I've got of me in Japan. Mm-hmm. That's Japan.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I can. Yeah, it looks, I can tell.
Wanna fuck?
Yeah.
And so it's the coexistence of these interior capacities along with ordinary predisposition, ordinary type characteristic predisposition that interests me. Because now that I know what I'm looking for, I see intuition and much higher states of consciousness than intuition. Intuition is a relatively easily available state of mind, but I've seen very high states of mind coexisting and masquerading and being disguised as ordinary thinking functioning.
Except those fringes, and then we don't care about them. The greatest good for the greatest number. And that you can do anything you want to do. Anything at all. Which is the promise. But you see, the promise is a lie. It never was true. Never ever was it true. It's always been a lie. It was intended as a lie. But people bought it, you bought it. Hook, line, and sinker, and have gone down with it. Because you see, what happens is the ego collectively creates the promise, and the ego individually bites it, hooks onto it, wants it, believes it, hangs on for dear life. And when the promise fails, which it always does,
psychometry,
you would rather hold on to the fact that the promise was true. You weren't. The promise didn't fail. I failed. Humanity failed. I will protect the promise of my ego and destroy myself instead. Nobody would do that. Yes. You've done it in other lifetimes and already in this one. Because you see, when you realize, when you come to the fact that resources are not unlimited. Rather than saying the promise lied, you say no. It is because of self-destructiveness and stupidity. And therefore humanity becomes self-destructive and stupid. That's the nature of humankind. They're self-destructive and stupid. When there isn't this greatest wealth, this unlimited consumption, rather than say the lie, admit the lie, you would rather say no. It is unlimited consumption, except for the greediness and the hostility. And humanity becomes greedy and hostile. I would rather believe that it is the inherent nature of man and woman that they are greedy and hostile. That's why everybody doesn't have everything. And when indeed the happiness was neither the greatest nor for the greatest number at all, rather than admit that doesn't work, that's not true, you'd rather say no, it's because of them, the elite, those that think they're better than me, like I think I'm better than them. And society and mankind becomes elitist, separatist, alien from each other, alienated from each other. And when you realize you can't do anything you want to do, you don't say, that promise was a goddamn lie. You say, I'm undeserving. I'm unloving. And humanity becomes undeserving and unloving.
No one builds children. No one ever has. What would be the point?
It could be a custom job. Some rich and lonely scaredy puss's pretend child.
I'm a custom job. 75 years ago, I was Time Magazine's Mecca of the Year.
This work is first rate. A lot of love went into him. David.
You are one of a kind. You know that? Who made you?
My mommy made me.
Her womb is your factory, and one of those built to aspire to the human condition. What is the name of your maker? Serve U.S., Easy Living, Robbie Bell, Simulate City Santa, Cybertronic Sidekicks?
Monica is my mommy.
And if I did? What's in it for moi? More money than you ever dreamed of. Nobody gets hurt. You think about it.
Passengers are beating off, plummeting to their certain doom. All of a sudden, the hydraulics kick back in and the plane rights itself.
Times. And when, on the other hand, he's on his back, it isn't easy for her because she has to straddle his giant belly.
I don't feel 30 at all. I feel about 17 these days.
So that at that personal level, we always must give people the benefit of making choices and commitments, you see, that would call into question their position in the hierarchy, be it a racial hierarchy or a class hierarchy or gender hierarchy and so on, you see. Now, what was that?
Oh, well, history classes.
What, history
Should
classes?
Should they be separate or together?
Well, I think the issue of the space is less important than what is taught. I mean, you can't teach a sophisticated course in Afro-American studies without wrestling with American history and modern history. African history, they all go together. Teach a decent course in American history without talking about black people and working people and women and military elites and political elites, so that it's not so much this question of whether they're separate. They're never separate in terms of analytical content and historical substance, but it may be in different classrooms, in different departments, but the overlap ought to be real, or you're teaching a very truncated version of your subject matter.
I wish that were true everywhere. So, you know, when kids stop dancing when they're about 6 or 7, I didn't, and I kept going, and I'm still doing pretty much the same thing.
Thinking of not putting him in the show?
Something as original as this, you don't toss out with the rest of the garbage.
Yeah, well, I say originality without purpose is a white elephant, but if money is your purpose, here's your refund. My compliments.
What are you going to do with him?
Put him where he belongs. In show business.
It was certainly my good fortune running into you.
Go of him.
Let go of me.
I said let go.
I'm trying.
Don't let go. Keep me safe. Don't let go.
Put yourself.
Heavily armed with AK-47 shotgun.
Now we are ready if you are ready. Now we are ready.
To work with you to establish a free, independent
East Timor.
So Pinochet left the country house.
What's the name of this nation? Unless they are able to maintain contact, sustain
contact. The Russian Navy says this giant submarine is now sitting on the bottom, more than 350.
What you will hear now will bring back memories to some, will open up new fields to others, but most important, will keep alive to all and for all time what can really never die. The many moons of
everybody, you have a list of bad things. Look at this.
You know, the bottom line is you're going to say that you're married 4 years from now, and there's going to be a young kid or something they contact, and they're going to call maybe Tommy Jr. Hicks, another fool.
Wish you could understand this. I would so much rather you understood, could really hear what I have to say. For yours is, I believe, a distorted picture of this world.
It's a beautiful world. Makes me
I can do for you?
Would you do me a very small favor?
I don't know. It depends on the favor.
You know Geiger's bookstore across the street?
I think I may have passed it.
You know Geiger by sight?
Well, I...
What does he look like?
Wouldn't it be easy enough to go across the street and ask to see him?
I've already done that.
Oh.
Know anything about rare books?
You could try me.
Would you happen to have a Ben-Hur 1863rd edition with a duplicated line on page 116? Or a Chevalier Order of an 1840?
Nobody would. There isn't one.
The girl in Geiger's bookstore didn't know that.
Oh, I see. You begin to interest me, vaguely.
Yeah, I'm a private dick on a case. Perhaps I'm asking too much, although it doesn't seem too much to me, somehow.
Well, Geiger's in his early 40s, medium height, fattish, soft all over, Charlie Chan mustache, well-dressed, wears a black hat, affects a knowledge of antiques and hasn't any, and, oh yes, I think his left eye is glass.
You'd make a good cop.
Thanks. Going to wait for him to come out?
Yeah.
It'll close for another hour or so, and it's raining pretty hard.
I got my car. Yeah, that's right, it is, isn't it? You know, it just happens. I had a bottle of pretty good rye in my pocket. I'd a lot rather get wet in here.
Well. Looks like we're closed for the rest of the afternoon. Tell me more about this business.
Oh, there isn't much to tell. I... Hello.
Hello. I hate to tell you, but that's Geiger's car driving us.
Who's the man getting out?
Geiger's shadow. His name's Carol Lundgren.
Well... Thanks.
If you ever want to buy a book.
Ben Hur 1860?
It's duplication. So long.
So long, pal.
The Renaissance, that did not start science. Long before that, and there you're finding it archaeologically now, and are amazed. My gosh, look at this primitive society. They actually counted. They actually had a calendar. They actually made calculations and did things scientifically. They irrigated the land, can you believe it? These barbaric animals out of the slime. Science has been around longer than science will admit. It was not invented with the Renaissance. That's when science became science for its own sake, losing perspective of its purpose. But nonetheless, it's always been about, and religion also, in that large use of the word, we include mysticisms, metaphysics, magic, because that is, at that time was, the religion. And religion has been around a lot longer than religion wants to admit also. The Bible amorphously says, in the beginning, just to cover. Yeah. But the beginning was about 1500 years BC. Oh, not of the creation of the earth, but of the Judeo-Christian ethic began 1500 years BC. And they got pissed off at the Egyptians for kicking them out. You won't let us play, we'll make our own field. Put together our own stadium. But nonetheless, religion has been around a lot, lot longer than that. And of course, you can see the struggle of science starting to develop and religion in its organized sense, trying to crush it. Galileo and all that, everybody knows about him, and it was only in the 60s that they decided that he wasn't possessed of the devil and evil. 1960s, we're talking about. And then science reared up to crush religion, and then they made a pact called the Renaissance. We'll scratch your back if you scratch ours. And we'll both rise up and suppress the people. But you see, at one time, science was a tool of understanding and meaning. And religion was a tool of conception and perception. And that was a time of dominion. But what happened is that tool became a weapon. That tool became a weapon of a stunted and frustrated will and imagination, and an impotent ability to act and feel. And when science became a weapon, when people didn't have will and imagination, or they had it, but it was stunted, and when they were impotent, unable to act, unable to feel, by their own choice, by their own decision, but nonetheless impotent, then religion and science became a tool, not a tool, rather a weapon, a club, to swing in vengeance, to take action when action was unable to be taken, to create feeling when people were too numb to feel, to exert will when they were too cowardly to do it themselves, to stimulate imagination when people refused to be imaginative. That is true macrocosmically. It is also true microcosmically. When it was pushed out of you by the very society that you were trying to become a part of, your science, whether called biology or chemistry or earth science, whatever it was called, and your religion, by whatever name you gave it, even atheism as a religion, you began to use as a club, as a weapon. And that's when you lost dominion and chose domination instead. And finally and fourthly, before the grand promise, the grand lie, you have dominion, and you knew dominion. Now the grand promise that is coordinated with the Industrial Revolution and the development of the technocracy has often been seen to source because of the Industrial Revolution and that technocracy. And not so. Science is not to blame. The Industrial Revolution is not to blame. The technocracy is not to blame for the grand promise. The grand promise, the grand lie, comes from the collective ego that took advantage of the Industrial Revolution and the development of technocracy. Took advantage of that to trick you, to lie to you, to set you up, not unlike your ego every day of the year. That takes advantage of situations to set you up, to lie to you, to trip you up. But before the grand promise, before the grand lie, there was the spiritual promise. It worked, it functioned. Not the religious promise, the spiritual promise. Because you see, the religious promise is part of the grand promise and is also a lie. But the spiritual promise that was there first, that was a time of dominion. And along comes the grand promise, and you drop the religious promise, grasp that grand one, that is already a failure. You grasp it for dear life. And as it drags you down and down and down, you go willingly, holding on to it in the hopes that it'll pay off. It'll give what it says it'll give. The grand promise. Unlimited resources. Unlimited wealth. The greatest good for the greatest number. You can do anything you want to do. Which truly meant domination of nature. Unlimited consumption. Rampant competition. And a promise of selfishness. And people cling, and have clung, have twisted it into the American dream, a phrase that has been used. Or whatever dream their nationality has. It sounds, in its initial state, it intimates freedom, but was intended to imprison. For that's exactly what it does. Until it drops you, until it squeezes everything out of you. But before that grand promise, there was dominion. Macrocosmically and microcosmically. Microcosmically, it doesn't come quite so grand, but it's there. You go to school. And the books, and the teachers, the administrators, and the parents, and the television, and everybody tells you, or radio, or whatever before radio even, tells you. You go through this system, and you will be dominant. You will have power over other people, because you will have an education and a degree. Many degrees. And you will have then unlimited wealth. Become a doctor. All doctors are rich. Become a lawyer. All lawyers are rich. Become a scientist. All scientists are rich. Become a movie star. All movie stars are rich. And it'll be the greatest good for the greatest number if you cooperate. Become normal. Become bland. Give up any of your uniqueness. Give up any of your idiosyncrasies. Give up any of your delightful personality differences and become a little sheep. And don't bother to teach her. Don't act up in class. Don't ask questions that she doesn't like to hear or he doesn't want to hear. Don't do anything original in your work. It makes it too hard to assess whether it's good or not. Do what has always been done before. Do better yet what I did.
If you don't know, then you don't know. And if I did, what's in it for moi? More money than you ever dreamed of. Nobody gets hurt. You think about it. Let's grab a beer. What do you say?
Not too much to do. But I'll walk you out.
Files on the desk, Murray. Get inside my uncle's door, bud. All the secrets of the world are yours. Lifeblood of companies. Of course, you gotta go to law school first, but...
can't see you, so you can create just about anything for them to picture. I can be bald, fat, white, ugly, Hispanic, anything. It doesn't matter. Everyone who listens will have a different picture. You can create any picture you like. Think about it. If I say I'm doing the show naked, people will picture me nude in front of a microphone.
You used to do that in New York.
Right. Nude night. Every Friday night.
But you weren't naked, were you?
That doesn't matter. If you picture me nude, then I was. The story I told about running out of the building to my car was just another picture I painted for the audience. If I told them the truth, that I needed change for cigarettes, and I forgot about the music for a minute, they wouldn't get it. It would make me sound too normal, I guess. Plus, if someone pictures me as a non-smoker, I just shot their image of me. Get it? It wasn't a lie, it was just more of a skit.
There's more to this job than I ever imagined. I mean, most people picture DJs just hanging out, playing records all day. Not really working, making a lot of money.
Well, there's a little bit more to it than that, but... as a fellow jock said to me once, sure beats working for a living. You have to remember that people listen to the radio in every different situation imaginable. They listen at work, by themselves, in their cars, obviously. People fuck to the sound of my voice every night, you know? So not everyone listens to my every word anyway. Except one guy. He called before you took me hostage. His car broke down or some shit. Now he doesn't have a choice but to listen.
And a few weeks ago, he was kissing and caressing a woman he'd just begun dating. They were fully clothed on the sofa in her apartment, and he had an orgasm. And when he got up and saw blood all over the lap of her white dress, he assumed she was having her period, but soon realized in the bathroom, his pants and underpants soaked with blood, that it had come from him.
Tinker toy, a living doll. Of course, we all know why they made him. To steal your hearts, to replace your children. This is the latest iteration in a series of insults to human dignity.
And in their grand scheme to phase out all of God's little children.
Meet the next generation of child designed to do just that. Do not be fooled by the artistry of this creation. No doubt there was talent in the crafting of this simulator. Yet with the very first strike, you will see the big lie come apart before your very eyes.
Don't burn me! Don't burn me! I'm not Pinocchio! Don't make me die! I'm David! I'm David! I'm David!
plead for their lives? Who is that? He looks like a boy.
Built like a boy to disarm us. See how they try to imitate our emotions now. Whatever performance this sim puts on, remember, we are only demolishing artificiality. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Main Street last night picked up a shoe. A shoe had a foot in it. We're going to make you pay for that.
But I also feel extremely wise. I've had quite a life emotionally, and I feel very wise. And it's just really a trip. It's just, life is just a trip. And
safely, and everyone puts their pieces or whatever, you know, away and deboard. Nobody mentions the phenomenon to anyone else.
From us, would that be?
It is approximately 623.
Write the paper I'd write. Answer the questions the way I'd answer them. Have the opinions I have. It's much easier for me. Greatest good for the greatest number. We'll get along if you do everything I tell you, exactly as I tell you to. One after the other, for 12, for 16 years. And you come out empty. And that's not just an opinion. That's been proven quite clearly scientifically. That as you enter the system, the level of creativity is very high. As you exit the system, it is virtually non-existent. Productivity and creativity reduce from somewhere to 60 to 70% down to 2%. Meaning, as you go in, 60 to 70% of those entering education are highly creative and productive, and only 2% come out that way. They retained it. It's not that they were part of the ones that didn't have it and got it. It was there, and dwindled and whittled and removed until finally they had to let you go. However, if they had known, and often it is that 2%, then it is good age to go on. Past college, post-graduate school.
Yes, I know you have all the degrees, but you ought to hang around a little longer and learn a little more. Take that 2% and run them through for another 5 years. We're bound to get it down to 1% and maybe even nothing. The grand promise that if you behave, don't scribble on your papers, don't write notes to the people next to you when the teacher's talking. If you do that, you'll grow up to be happy, successful, rich, abundant with children, an RV, a swimming pool, and weeds in your garden. How not carving your initials in the top of your desk is going to make you a tremendously successful business person, we've yet to figure out. But at age 7, when you're told that, you believe it. And it was a lie. That's when you've had dominion before then. And you've known it in this lifetime, and you've known it in others, and therefore it is a part of you. It is a part of you. And if you can get back in touch with that, get back in touch with that and see where you gave it up, in the broad macrocosmic sense and the microcosmic sense, then you have taken the first step to establishing and understanding why you want to make the choice for dominion.